reading today's gospel, I remembered a story I've heard or read, and I don't know if it's a legend, probably it is, about Steve Jobs when he was beginning Apple Corporation. And they say that it was the beginnings. Computers were not what they are today. And he was insistent in this is the future. And he had this idea, they were not too good in business, as I hear, and they wanted the president of Pepsi-Cola to be their, to help them out in this thing. And so they went twice to him and said, can you help us with this new project we have? And of course, they were taken out twice and said, no, not interested. But on the third time, the story says that Steve Jobs went to him and it says, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water? Or do you want to change, a chance to change the world? And the rest is story. I think of that story when hearing today's gospel of Jesus. I think Jesus had that same question to these disciples. Do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water? Or do you want the chance to change the world? Today, this gospel is the first words of Jesus according to Mark. So these are the first, it's the beginning of the Gospel of Mark that we're studying during this year, year B. And it's the first time that Jesus' own voice is heard in the gospel. And this is what we hear. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, announcing God's good news, saying, now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust this good news. And I think it's very important because these are the first, this is the program. This is the core, the heart of Christ's message. Now is the time. Now is the proper time. And it's a beautiful word that most of you know about it. It's kairos. Have you heard that word before? There's two words. One is time, just like time, the clock time. But there's another time, the kairos, which is it's a time that is not regulated by clocks or watches, but it is the time that is the good time, a specially fit time for something. It doesn't emphasize a precise chronology. It is not now and not afterwards, but it is a constant now. And Jesus says, Kairos, today, this is this pregnant time, a time of grace and power that is opening up in our midst. Jesus had the vision to change the world more than selling computers. He called that vision of his the kingdom of God, or as Matthew calls it, the kingdom of heaven that has nothing to do with birds and up there in the clouds. Heaven was another word for not saying the word God. As a faithful Jew, you wouldn't say the word God, but rather you would use another word. So that's why when he talks about the kingdom of heaven, it's not referring to something up there in the sky or anywhere else, but it's the kingdom of God. For Jesus, the main reason of his existence was that, the kingdom of God. In Matthew, Jesus says, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness in all these things, all that you desire will be given to you as well. And for me, I think as we start this year, we're sort of beginning still, the year of the church, we're invited to consider the core message, what this is all about. If we eliminate everything else, what remains? And I think that this is the core message of Jesus, this kingdom of God. And I like in the Roman Catholic Church, there's a preface for the Feast of Christ the King, which I love because I think it encaptures what this kingdom of God is all about. It says, the kingdom of God is an eternal and universal kingdom. It is a kingdom that is not circumscribed by a specific time, but it is this kairos, this moment that is eternal. And it is universal. It is not a kingdom that is connected to even the church. I think one of the great dangers we've had in Christianity is that we think we are the kingdom. And that is the most erroneous thing. Because the kingdom is not Christianity. It's not the church. The kingdom of God is universal. It doesn't have any borders. It is a kingdom of truth and life, so much we need these days. A kingdom of truth and a kingdom of life, not a kingdom of death. It's a kingdom of holiness and a kingdom of grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. That is what Jesus was passionate about. That was what Jesus gave his life for, this kingdom, this eternal and universal kingdom, a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. And how do we access this kingdom? How does this kingdom become present? And Jesus says this immediately after he says, now the kingdom is coming. He says, change your hearts and lives and trust in the good news. Change your hearts, change your lives, and trust. There's a lot to meditate there. And as I hear these words of Jesus, I ask myself, how is my heart changed? How is my life changed? How do I really trust the message that Jesus proclaimed? As churches, we're always tempted to just be another social club. We come on Sundays when we are allowed to come to church, and we socialize, we have fun, we engage with each other, which is beautiful, perfect. But church, following Jesus, is much, much more than that. Sadly, we forget what this message is. It is difficult to embark in this calling by Jesus. And I think Jesus comes to us and asks us, just as he asks Peter and John and Philip and Nathanael from last week, he comes again and tells us, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world? What is your sugared water? Probably all the stuff that we collect, and we have our children or our grandchildren having to discard them where we're gone. So many things we engage and we make efforts, and most of it's just sugared water. And today, we hear Jesus telling, is that all? Don't you want something more? Don't you want to be part of this bigger project of changing hearts and lives, of trusting, of making the kingdom of God present in the world? When Jesus says that invitation to the disciples, what they did, they left behind nets and boats and father and hired hands. I think it's interesting. Two things. They leave the material, the tools they had to earn their living. They leave behind the nets and a boat, the material possessions that were their security. And back in those days, probably being a fisherman was handed down by generations. It is a big deal. These men probably were the great, 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 great grandchildren of who knows the first fishermen in the Sea of Galilee. And these men, because they were touched by this invitation of Jesus to do more than simply sell sugared water, as Steve Jobs would have said, and make a difference in the world, they left that behind, the nets and the boats. But not only that, not only the material, the tools they had, but they also leave his father and the hired hands, the relations. And I know it's not an easy thing. When I was reading it, I recalled when I decided to follow God's invitation and leave the Roman Catholic Church. And I had to leave a lot of security. As a Roman Catholic priest, I had a lot of things. But once you leave, you're out on your own. There's no savings, no retirement, not even Social Security was paid. So that was a hard thing. I'm leaving. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to land? And second thing, leaving beautiful relationships. My brothers in the Redemptorist Order, which I loved, and they were so supportive of me, and I had to leave them behind. And those moments that were very hard, I had to go to psychotherapy for a long time to adjust, discuss these things, were painful and hard. But I knew that Jesus is calling me to something more. And I know each one of you have these stories in your own lives. Moments in your life when you felt this calling of God and said, there's more. Leave that behind. Open your hand and release. And come and follow me. Jesus himself had to leave. He left his mother. He left his home. And notice that at the beginning of today's gospel, these words, Mark says, after John was arrested. And we know what happened. John's head was chopped up and handed in a dish. Jesus, knowing what was happening, followed in the footsteps of his cousin John the Baptist. So he knew what he was getting himself into. He left his mother, he leaves his home, and embarks in a dangerous path that he knew could end very, very badly. So today, in our world that is convulsed by pandemics, racism, political craziness, so many things that need change and transformation, we hear the voice of Jesus saying, what do you need to leave behind? What is your sugared water that you're so focused on? And what is the proposal that Jesus is inviting you to do? Come, follow me. Help me make manifest this kingdom of God in our world today. I invite you now for a prayer inspired by Charles de Foucault. It's called the Prayer of Abandonment. I tweaked it a little bit. And invite your prayers as we abandon all of our possessions, our thoughts, our attachments, to give ourselves completely to God. Beloved God, source and mystery, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept it all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O beloved one. Into your hands I commend my heart, my body, and my spirit. I offer it all to you with all the love of my heart. For I love you and so need to give myself to you, to surrender myself into your hands without any reservation and with boundless confidence and trust, for you are my beloved. Amen.